So today I'm joined with HARPS Fitness PT. Benji, I'm going to hand it over to you to introduce yourself and what it is that you do.
Okay, well, hello everybody. My name is Harpreet. I am a PT, let's say by evening as my passion, and I work in the corporate world still during the day. I am 42 years old. I have a 7-year-old son, and I first got into training, fitness, and strength training specifically. So I thoroughly and I'm a thorough advocate of weightlifting, especially women using it and incorporating it in their lives, because the benefits of it are just so many, which I'll go into later on. But I actually got into this quite a few years ago because of my own health journey. I was very overweight, very unhealthy throughout my 20s. Basically found a love of fitness and training back then. I think it was probably my late 20s, I would say. And I've never really looked back. Yeah, I guess that's my intro.
No, that's perfect. And you stressed women in that. Why women specifically? Because I know on your Instagram as well, you've mentioned that you do this for women. What was the thinking process behind that?
In all honesty, okay. When throughout the, I'd say about 10, 15 years that I've been in my own fitness journey as well as in this industry of training. So I became a personal trainer in 2015 when I was on maternity leave with my son. And I've seen over the years how heavily influenced this whole fitness industry has been by, it's been male dominated, very much male dominated. I mean, I'd say over the past 4 or 5 years, that has changed quite a bit. You know, I see a lot more women into exercising and trying to take care of their health, but I still see there's a huge gap between women and weightlifting, women and resistance training. And I believe that's one, because of a lack of knowledge. And secondly, I think there's an element of fear there, because that industry, that area has always been dominated by males. So that's why I specifically train women, and I specifically educate women on how to do exercises such as weight training and looking after their health safely, to make them a better person for themselves as well as the people that surround them.
Yeah, I think we can all agree, you know, as women, walking into the gym for the first time is scary. Yes, so it's good that you're doing this.
Yeah, yeah. To be honest, because I was the same, you know. When I started my whole exercising gym, I mean, I started with Weight Watchers years ago. And when I finally started seeing a bit of change, that's when I started incorporating exercising. I got myself a PT who I'm actually still very good friends with. And she taught me a lot. I started doing a lot of classes, but I noticed that I really geared towards classes and I became quite a cardio bunny. I mean, don't get me wrong, Simon, any kind of exercise and something you enjoy is better than none. Like I'm a very big advocate of, you know what, we don't move enough as humans, as let's just say our cultures, especially in South Asian culture, we do not move enough. And I see the rise in metabolic diseases, you know, whether it's diabetes, whether it's, you know, we've got, the high blood pressure is quite prevalent in our community. So I think this is something that is so important, that any form of exercise at the moment is good. But for long-term, for longevity, for your body, for your health to be stronger, to be more supple, to be more, you like your joints, your bones, everything, I really firmly emphasize lifting weights and starting getting used to a bit of resistance training, because it just does you so good as the older you get. And plus, for me, you know, I'm aging, I'm 42, I'm getting older, but I would say I am more fitter and stronger now than I was when I was in uni, in my uni days. And I would say that is because of my resistance training over the years.
42 isn't old, Benji.
Oh, I feel it. Gadi gadi tay dalag di dumpling saw 102. But anyway, those are other, that's another podcast on its own.
That's it. I'm gonna have to have you back to talk about age. So you spoke briefly about how it's so important for our community to start training, start going to the gym, or just keeping fit in general. Why is that? I know that we don't train enough, we don't keep food, we don't move enough. And you spoke about there being like diseases of some sort as well.
Yeah, so at the moment, if we have a look at it and we look at research and we look at numbers, and I mean, I'm not going to go into too much of it, like one, people will probably switch off the podcast, and secondly, they'll be like, okay, she's a bit of a nerd. I am a bit of a nerd in that respect, but basically the Black community and South Asian community, we are at higher risk of certain, you know, metabolic diseases, one being diabetes. If you have a look at, and it's got a lot to do with our makeup and the way we are, and but it's also a lot to do with, now it's getting worse because of our diets, the nutrition we're eating, the lack of movement. And it's kind of catching up with all of us. I think the other aspect of it is as well, there is that part where women in our culture, we put ourselves last. And I think a lot of us are quite used to it. You know, we're mums, we're daughters, we're sisters, and those roles always come before ourselves. And in that, I think we've lost that part of us that needs to be strong and fit to be able to continue fulfilling these roles that we have. And also try and, you know, keep these diseases or illnesses at bay. I think not only us as a community, but I think generally now the population, especially since COVID, it is very hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's definitely a fight with your mind on, you know, trying to get into a routine, especially with lockdown. People just, you know, you couldn't do things, and we all got a little bit lazy. I mean, I got lazy. It gets to a point where you kind of fall out of your routine. But we have to try and get back into some sort of routine, some sort of movement, because otherwise we will see, I think we're going to continue to see rises in certain, you know, especially problems such as backache pain. Lower backache is probably, I think, one that really high up there in common injuries and ailments in people. And in all honesty, unless you've actually been diagnosed by a doctor, you know, with a certain, you know, physical illness or something's actually wrong with you, most of it is due to lack of movement. Most of it is due to not having strength in certain parts of your muscle, like your glutes, which is your muscles in your backside area, and that's about as nicely as I can put it. And it can, you know, there's certain things that people don't understand, that we are one unit. We are, you know, our body is all linked. So things such as weak areas and muscles in our body, such as our glutes, can affect lower back pain. The way we sit, our posture, the fact that we sit down a lot and we don't move a lot, it all adds up, and it's all linked.
You had me straightening my back there. I'm thinking my posture's crap. I'm sat hunched over.
Now, how many people do that, do you? I can't even tell you. Every time I mention posture, even if I'm talking to someone else, as soon as you say posture, you see everybody just, you know, sitting up straight. And
thinking, you're right. Yeah. And obviously, like, that links so well into, like, the difficulties with keeping fit, like even something silly as that, like I just sit really bad, like even at work I don't keep an eye on how I'm sitting down, let alone walking around the office when I need a bit of a walk around. Like there's so many difficulties with staying fit, and I think it increases being brown as well.
Yes, it's very true. It's not easy, especially if you have demanding jobs. Especially if you have a family and you have multiple roles that you have to fulfill. But there comes to a point, Simran, where we have to, you know, you have to give a little somewhere. Because if we continue as a community, or even as, you know, as a race, to continue to be the way we are, where we don't move enough, you know, we sit for too long, we're constantly I wouldn't even say constant eating. I'm saying more of, you know, relying on quick fixes, whether that's fast food, whether that's, you know, I'm going to try a diet tea to try and lose some weight. And our problem is that we try and fix things quickly. We are more, this is my opinion only, I believe we are more of a race that are now happy to pop a pill for something than actually figure out what is the root cause and how can I fix this without involving medication, if it is fixable without medication. And sometimes, you know, things that can be fixed with lifestyle changes, with changes that are you surround yourself with, like especially mental changes, you know, mental health is so important in all this as well. If your mindset is not cared for, is not in the right frame of mind, it's very hard to physically get up and move. You have to kind of work at everything a little bit. But that's why I really say, like, you know, there's a lot of pillars in our lives that we need to look at. And one thing at a time, we shouldn't try and tackle everything. We shouldn't overwhelm ourselves, but we should try and get into one part of our lives to try and make it a little bit better, because then it has a knock-on effect with the rest. So, for example, sleep. Like, one thing I advocate with my clients especially is, you know, sleep. Like, what time do you sleep? What time are you getting up? You know, do you have broken sleep? All of that then will affect, if you think about it, when we don't sleep well, the next day, how do you feel? You know, we're groggy, we're tired, we get more hungry. And it's all then, you know, then it, that whole day can turn into a day that's, that could be, it could have been a little bit better if we just say, let's say slept like an hour early and got up a bit more refreshed.
Mm. No, agreed. And you went into how your mental health can affect your physical health a little bit there. Would you agree that even your spiritual health would affect your physical health to some extent?
Yes, no, I do agree. And I think they are all linked in such a way. And I know nowadays, you know, meditation, the word meditation is thrown around, you know, like it's a bit like a sweet or something, you know, and things such as, you know, mental health, that word is thrown around. But there's a, you know, there's a part of it that we need to actually take seriously and think, okay, what so say, for example, for myself, if I over lockdown, you know, I had my own period of a real, you know, mental trauma, mental health issues. And it was as much as anybody else could say to me, you know, snap out of it, for example, or try and help. You can get support. You can obviously, you know, if there's people you can talk to, please talk to people and try and share that burden. But then there's also that part that you have to then take a little bit of control. When you get to the point you can, you have to take a little bit of control of your own life and think, okay, what can I do to make this a little bit better? And I find the mental health aspect of it is then related to fitness and health as well as spirituality, in terms of, well, okay, for example, going for a walk. Not only does that kind of refresh your mind and make you feel, you know, it lessens that burden I find on your shoulders. You know, you can get out, you can breathe a fresh air. You just think, you know, that deep breath when you're just kind of letting it all go. That in turn, you know, you're walking, it's helping out your physical health, and then spiritually connecting. Like, in all honesty, when I had to get back up again in terms of after anything that, everything that I went through over lockdown, I turned to Gurbani. I connected my mental, my spiritual and my physical by walking, listening to Gurbani and really understanding and releasing things that were causing me pain. So I do feel all of it is connected.
Now let's flip that question. What would a poor physical health have as an impact on, like, how would it impact your spiritual mental health? Because I feel like it's so easy to say, you know, if we're not doing good mentally and spiritually, then kind of everything else falls. But I feel like if we're not doing good physically either, it kind of has an impact on everything else in our lives as well.
It really can. And I think that what I believe that sometimes what happens is many of us, or some of us, get stuck in that vicious circle. It becomes this real circle. And poor physical health can can turn around and look like, okay, so for example, let's just say, you know, you don't exercise, you don't walk, you know, you're in this routine of, you know, you wake up, go to work, get the kids ready or not, you know, go to work, come, you drive to work, you're sitting when you get in the office, or you're sitting at home working from home, and then you finish work and then you're sitting in the car to get home, or, you know, you're sitting at home ready to watching TV. Again, that then I find is that tiredness that you feel, it is, you know, exacerbated, it's increased by not doing anything. So you get stuck in that circle. You're tired because you're not moving, but you're too tired to move. So it's, I find poor health can come out that way. And also poor health can also come out in such things as, you know, the way your body is. Sometimes it can come out in illnesses. It can come out, like, for example, if you're feeling very stress. Oh God, that's another topic we can start another podcast on. But stress, stress plays havoc on your body in so many ways. Mm. And that's just, you know, not just mentally, but physically as well. And I think everything, you know, everything is linked in our body. Every single aspect of it is linked. But trying to, I think where people get stuck and scared as well and worried or confused is, where do I start? You know, where, you know, how do I get out of this rut? How do I even begin to make myself feel better? And it is hard because the internet, you know, social media is bombarded and packed with so much information. A lot of it can be conflicting. There's a lot of easy fixes, you know, try this diet or try this tea or try, you know, all sorts of stuff. And it's hard for just any, you know, a random, just a normal person, everyday person who's not really into any of this or doesn't understand it to get confused.
Yeah, no, agreed. And I think you also mentioned before that Gurbani really helped you try to get back into fitness. And it actually links really well, because my next question to you was like, has Sikhi had any impact on your fitness journey, on what you do now, on your, I assume this is like a side job, because I feel like you do other things as well, but has this pushed you and empowered you to do what you're doing now?
It's funny you say that to him, because I was talking to my husband about it the other day, and he really noticed that I you know, I know a little bit more about Sikhi. I know I get really you know, passionate when I start talking about certain things, or like we look into, in all honesty here, so I've grown up in a Sikh family, okay. Mm. And my mum and dad always spoke to us in Punjabi, and I learned Punjabi through my family, through my parents. I don't know how to read or write it. Mm. Something I kick myself every day, because I used to go to classes, but my mum said that I talk too much, so they told me that maybe, you know, you either get her to stop talking so much, or so I was like, that sounds a bit familiar. But I was a bit of a chat box. But I think it was I do now, it's as in the past couple of years as well, whether what's happened to me in my life has turned me towards it, I don't know what it is, but I feel like Sikhi is, I'm now waking up to how beautiful it is, how important it is, how things such as our Mool Mantar is our root and what we should live by. And and in all honesty, I've now, like, I'm with a really great Sangat. I'm part of a club called Inspire Club, which is run by Rabinder Gore from Asian Women Mean Business. And they came at a right time when I was going through quite a sad, I was a bit lost in life. So that, along with surrounding and having the desire to learn about our culture, has really helped me connect back to my training. How that happened is that, you know, these ladies really had a lot of faith in me. I'd lost a lot of confidence teaching and training people. And that was just because of the things that happened in my life, in my personal life. And they, you know, I started offering them free classes. I did it for like a month. I did a class, and they, you know, they loved it. They encouraged me. They were like, oh my God, you're so good. You know so much. And it kind of brought back that a little bit of that confidence that I was lacking. And yeah, in all honesty, I've not really looked back since. I do this on the side, yes, and I've noticed that I'm really taking more interest in Sikh warriors and such as Mai Bhago and how she was so strong and just her strength and the way she was, just I'm in awe of it. I think my Sikhi journey is just starting. I feel like I'm just scratching the surface, but I'm really excited about it because I learn so much, and especially from other people and being and going to certain events and it's changing my life, and it's definitely changing the way I think my fitness stuff is going as well, because I feel like the strength and the history we come from really makes me mentally stronger to realize that, you know what, I can get through a lot in life if I just trust and look at how we've been over the years and how our culture and our religion has evolved.
I love that so much because it's always so refreshing to hear anyone talk about how Sikhi has like pulled them out of a dark time or like pushed them through it, and like it's just so nice to hear that there are certain elements of Sikhi that have inspired you as well, because to a lot of people Sikhi is very black and white, but it's not. There's so many different things that are in Sikhi that people don't explore and people haven't read about or just are not aware of, because the information is, I wouldn't say hard to find, but I feel like we don't talk about certain elements of Sikhi, so there's always the kind of do's and don'ts and nothing in between. But as you said, there's so many, you know, even talking about Mai Bhago Ji and all of these warriors and all of this that inspired you, it's so nice and refreshing to hear that. So thank you for sharing that. And it leads me on to asking, how can other people use Sikhi to inspire them to start getting healthy and be in shape?
Well, I think we can all look at what our culture stands for. I think we can look at the fact that we have, you know, we've fought through so much, still are fighting today, especially a lot of oppression. Our voices are being quite, you know, are being suppressed, and God, and you think it's 2022 and this is still going on. Trying to find yourself and figure out, because this is one thing I do want to say, I firmly believe it is never too late to learn about your religion and, you know, whatever religion you are. I don't think it's ever too late. I don't think we should look at, you know, society or people, other people, and they might think, oh, you know, what are you doing here? You don't know anything, or you know, don't belong here. And the reason why I say that is that sometimes when people look at you, if your hair is cut and, you know, you still eat meat, or you know, you're not a vegetarian, and then people sometimes think, well, really, how sick are you? Like, are you really sick if you're not following everything that is done by our religion? And I completely understand that, but I also think there's so many of us out there that want to learn more, but one, are scared to be, because they're going to get judged, and secondly, they kind of don't know where to start and where they fit in, because they're not Amritaris, they're not, you know, they haven't done Amrishak, or you know, they don't come from a sangha that can help them with things. So I think it's really trying to figure out and finding your path, and I think the first thing is always surrounding yourself by sangat and reaching out to people that are on this path as well, like for example your podcast, or you know, other people. There's lots of I find, especially on social media, there's so much more now that for Sikhi that is out there, and the resources that are out there now, and to use that then to figure out who you are, and then start on what do you enjoy, you know, what brings you joy, and how can you relate that back to trying to stay healthy for the, you know, yourself and your family.
Yeah, no, completely agreed. And I could go into a whole nother podcast with you, Benji, about the whole religious and how religious are you debate, because that is one conversation that annoys me very much. And I really strongly dislike that people in our own Guam think that your religiousness, and I say that lightly because I don't like the word, you know, I don't like to define how religious someone is. I think calling someone religious or not religious is really weird, but yeah. I don't like that we look at some, by the way that someone looks or by the way that they eat, decide how religious someone is. It doesn't really make sense to me. I, for one, don't eat meat. I don't eat eggs, but that doesn't mean that someone that does eat meat knows more about Sikhi than I do or doesn't know more. You can't define how Sikhi someone is through what they do and what they don't do, is my point. And I think that it really does scare people away from Sikhi, but there is so much love and so much tranquility in Sikhi that people don't explore because of these things. And there needs to be a push out there for people, young, especially young community that are growing up with social media now and that are seeing all this and they're starting to step back a bit. There needs to be more people saying, actually, no, do you know what? It's okay for you to start where you're starting. Everyone starts somewhere. And eventually you'll find the do's and don'ts that fit you best. And your religious journey is between yourself and Waiguru. And I think that is so important to stress. And you also mentioned eating meat and a little bit about that in there. This question is mainly for myself, but I'm a vegetarian and I don't eat eggs. So how can I keep a diet as a Sikh so that I am still keeping fit and healthy?
You know what? It's such a wide topic. This is another one. Nutrition is another one we can do a whole podcast on. I feel like we need one like separate, like a series of 10 here.
Do you know what? We might have to. Yeah.
So you know what? It's very hard in today's, and I'm not, disputing the fact that people just don't have as much time as they used to and everything is rushed. You know, meals are rushed, everything, you know, let's quickly, and we don't have time to cook. But trying to go back to the basics, trying to eat more home-cooked basic foods is one of the ways to start and one of the ways to go. Processed food is, we all eat it. Who doesn't? I eat flipping fish fingers or whatever whenever I feel like when I'm tired. So I'm not saying there isn't a place for it, but trying to eat most of the time in a more health, in a more sort of like fresh homemade way is one way of kind of reducing calories and knowing what's going in your food. I think that is one of the keys as well. When we grab things or we go out or we have freezer food or whatever it is, we don't actually know what's in it. So, and for vegetarians or if anyone's vegan, going back to the basics of, you know, things such as lentils, pulses, you know, nuts and fruit, veg, you know, things such as, you know, like our dala, our sabjiya, you know, roti, all of that. We can have all of that. It's not like we can't. We just need to know how to like portion control things. Mm-hmm. And we need to try not to add things to try and make it taste good. But in the end, we kind of pahabad it. And kill the goodness by adding too much to it. So, I mean, there are many ways. I mean, one of the things that I do with my clients, because I have quite a couple of them that are vegetarian and some are vegan, is and for women especially, we don't get enough protein in our diet. Now, protein is really important for all of us. So not just men. That, you know, I know everyone thinks that, you know, it's protein shakes are only for guys, but no, because it can one, obviously I am an advocate of fresh food and try and get protein from your food, but sometimes when you are on the go and, you know, especially like you, if you're a university student or whatever it is, protein shakes that are vegan, you can get vegan ones as well, help get that little bit of extra protein in without having to worry about cooking or worrying about how many too many calories. And you'll get, you know, if you add to, like, for example, you can add, you know, chuck in some spinach, some fruit, bit, you know, water or whatever milk you want, and it's kind of like a meal on the go. So there are lots of options, but it's actually trying to plan and do a bit of research. That is usually the time-consuming part that people struggle with, is the planning.
Brilliant. And the last question that I have for you is, how can people listening to this or anyone start their fitness journey? Where do they start? Because I think that's the hardest thing. What, like, one day you wake up and you decide you want to go to the gym. Okay, but how? Like, where can people start with their fitness journey?
You know what? In all honesty, Simran, I think the first thing, before you even think about going to the gym or anything, is sit down and really think about why. Why do you want to do this? Make a list, write down some goals and think, well, you know, well, and not just write, okay, I want to lose weight, but why? Why do you want to lose weight? Is losing weight going to make you feel good? Is losing weight going to give you more energy? Is losing weight going to make you a bit more confident because you feel like your clothes are going to get fit better? Why? Actually really write it down, like journal it. Journaling, I really am an advocate of it, just because when you struggle to talk, when you are struggling to talk to other people, sometimes talking to yourself, you write down and things come up that you don't even realize are in you, are things that you're struggling with. So writing it down, sometimes things come out and it's just, oh, it's like a light bulb moment. So doing that, first thing is, so to think about your why, then research, what do you like doing? Okay, so let's just say you like doing I don't know, yoga, or, you know, you're thinking about yoga, you don't know where to start. Well, figure out, okay, what kind of yoga, because there's different ones, and then look at somewhere locally that maybe does classes, just to kind of get used to it before you start doing at home. Or start with something little, 15 minutes on YouTube, put a, you know, yoga video on and try that. But I think the other thing is just make a plan and don't wait for motivation. Don't wait to be motivated, because motivation does not last. It's trying to get your why, make a plan. I'm going to start with two, let's just say 2 times a week. You know, I'm going to start walking a little bit more. I'm going to wake up half an hour early and go out for a 20-minute walk. I'm breaking it down into small chunks. Because I think one of the biggest things we all are guilty of is we think, right, I'm going to do an hour 4 times a week. And when we don't do it, we feel like we failed. And that in itself then gets us back in that cycle of, you know what, I failed, forget it, can't be bothered. And we get stuck in not doing it again. So trying to break it down into small, if you always think I'm going to do 15 minutes, and then the next time, okay, I'm going to do 20 minutes, and holy, just increase from there. It's not as overwhelming. And sometimes you find, then you start building a habit. And building that habit, regardless of motivation, you'll continue to do it.
So thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking to us about what has inspired you to do what you do, and why we should take care of our physical health, and why it's so important to do that. I'm going to hand it back to you to let everyone know where they can find you and what sort of service you provide if they do get in touch. But yeah, thank you once again, Benji. And we're going to see more of you, don't worry.
Well, you're most welcome. Look, any questions, I'm actually really behind the times on this. I'm only on Instagram at the moment, but I am on email. So Instagram is at harpsfitnesspt, and my email is info@harpsfitness.co.uk. And yeah, in all honesty, I work with one-to-ones at the moment only. Just drop me a message. Any questions as well, please do not be afraid to ask. Like, I highly encourage, you know, I don't charge for you to answer a question. So if you have any queries and there's nothing or something that you want to pick out a little bit more that I spoke about in this podcast, please do just reach out and I'll help you where I can.